The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. Come together.
Hello, good evening, friends. This is Jessica French and my co-host Ashley Winters. Are you here?
I am. Hello, hello.
Hello. Tonight we have former county supervisor Joe Comenti. Did I say it right?
You did a great job.
Oh, my gosh, I forgot to ask. I was going to ask.
You did a great job.
Is it Italian?
It is very Italian.
Okay, that's what I thought.
With much pride.
So how do we say it in Italian?
I'm from New Jersey.
Okay.
We say Comenti.
Oh, Comenti. Comenti. We'll say it like that then. So hello, Joe. Thank you so much for coming in tonight. We are going to be talking about public safety, new jail or no jail. That is the question. Whether or not we should support a sales tax, and what do we think is going well in Shasta County, and what can we do better? But first, I want to give a shout-out to our 48 sponsors of this show. You know who you are. 48 individuals gave small amounts to make this show possible, and we are grateful for you. I also want to thank Carl and Linda Bott for giving a different perspective a chance in the station, as well as Epoch Media for their help and support during this new fun endeavor. So, welcome again.
Thank you. Thank you. My pleasure to be here.
So let's just get right into it.
Okay.
Lately, the Board of Supervisors has been talking about the jail again.
Right.
It seems like that has not gone away for many years.
Yes.
So can you just tell us a little bit about the history of the jail and maybe a little bit about your history for those who might know how long you've been around? And
okay. I've been here just shy of 30 years. I raised my family here, my wife and I. A little history of the jail. It was first opened in 1983, 1984. I have a good friend who's a retired captain, Steve Davidson, so he's kind of filled me in from the very beginning of what the jail was like. And one of the things they realized with the facility was probably by 86 or 87, it was already too small and not functioning well. I think it currently holds about, 484 beds, not all of which can be used because there are some laws in California that limit the number. But the biggest challenge is how old the facility is and how antiquated the facility is. And when you look at jailing now as compared to what it was like 40 years ago, it's very different. Just the building itself. I mean, we've learned so much about how to best work with inmates and with the correction officers that have to work with these inmates. My opinion, and I'm full of them, and I will share them freely. I went into jail twice, once when I was in leadership Reading, and once when I took office. And those were two more times than I would prefer to have been in there.
Mm.
It is old. It is antiquated. It doesn't have much light. It's not a comfortable work environment. It creates a lot of stress and anxiety for the correction officers. It's just not a good facility. And it's really time for us to look at a more sophisticated, technologically sophisticated way to jail.
Okay. What about, so when do you think that the question about the jail came up?
It certainly was big to me. I think the landscape changed with AB 109, where the federal government forced the states to limit the amount of incarceration they had in prisons, and the state put the onus on the counties. And I remember when I first took office, you go to a training seminar and down in Sacramento, and an individual who worked on the budget, she was high up in the governor's office, said we knew what AB 109 was going to do, so that's why we allocated money to each county for them to augment their facilities. Unfortunately, and there's a lot of politics behind this, none of which is important at this point in time, our county turned down money on two occasions. And it was really what I ran on. Mm-hmm. When I said, you know what, when you have a problem and the state is telling you that problem's going to get worse and they give you money, even if it's not enough money, it's your responsibility to figure it out. So we've had this problem for a long time. And then you add in Prop 47 and Prop 57 that lightened the laws and increased the amount of criminal activity, especially property crimes, nuisance crimes. We need a deterrent, and that's really how I look at the jail. And honestly, I'm not a euphemistic guy. As you know, I'm a conservative guy, but I'm a pragmatic guy. I'm a business guy. Jail's not the appropriate term. It's really a correctional and rehabilitative facility. Mm-hmm. And by that I mean, again, it's not political. We have the data to bear out that when we do rehabilitation, when we do medicated-assisted treatment, when we do job training, we cut the rate of recidivism. And, you know, depending on what study you read, it can be anywhere from 30 to 60%. To me, any percent is good. So those are the kinds of things we have to look at. So this is a correctional facility, meaning if you don't want to go along with the program, and by program I mean follow the law and respect the rights of other people, then you need to be incarcerated.
Right. And especially if you're being violent and you're threatening public safety.
Unquestionably.
And even not being violent, but, for example, I was at Ross some time ago, and there was a man out there that was mentally ill, obviously, and he had a broken glass bottle, and he was waving around, screaming obscenities at people and talking to himself. And so maybe he's not, I mean, who knows if he's really going to hurt somebody,
right.
But he was threatening public safety.
Sure.
So where do those people go at this point? We called the police at that time.
Right.
Nobody ever showed up.
Right.
And probably, they said they were very busy, which we understand. But currently, where do those people go?
That's a very difficult situation. We don't have the mental health facilities in the state, and they were removed decades ago by Reagan when he was governor. And then I think we lost ours, and I'm not going to have this date right, but I'll be close, 2002.
Yeah, it was 2002. I have the date.
Okay, so 2002.
And that was something I wanted to talk about, so yes. That's a great segue to that kind of, because I wondered what you thought about whether closing down the county mental hospital, I think that's the proper terminology,
right.
If that aided to this explosion of mental health crisis on the streets and homelessness.
I mean, I don't have data in front of me, but as a reasonably logical human being, I would say absolutely.
Yeah.
And I know at the time, a good friend of mine was running that organization, and shortly after that, he retired because he felt like, I can't do this job if you don't give me the tools. I mean, and we live, again, I'm not a psychologist, but you look at social media and the impact that has on the psychology of our children and the psychology of people. And we've got information coming at us 24/7, which isn't always a healthy thing. A lot of times it's an unhealthy thing. We really need to be way more sensitive to our mental health. We just do. And getting rid of a facility like that is unacceptable to me. Again, it's a budget issue. It's always a budget issue. You know, and we all live our lives on budgets.
Right.
None of us is wealthy.
Right.
We all live our lives on budget, but that doesn't diminish our responsibility to raise our kids the way to be healthy, functioning human beings because we don't have enough money.
Mm-hmm.
And every family I know in this community does that. They raise their children despite what their checkbook says.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we have to expand that socially. You know, our society has a responsibility. So I certainly think that's a place. I think the opioid crisis certainly introduced opiates into the community and into young people. Young athletes in high school were suddenly taking these painkillers, and they became addicted to it.
And now fentanyl.
Fentanyl's the scariest thing on the planet because it takes the size of a head of a pin to kill you.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really frightening. So there's no simple solution to any of this. So I think that's the first step.
Yeah.
Everybody has to say there's no easy way out.
Right.
That's a Tom Petty song.
Mm-hmm.
I'm showing my age. There's just no way it works like that. So you've got to start looking at it one issue at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got to get away from the ridiculous issues. So now I'll go off on a little political rant.
Okay.
Whether the election was stolen or not, it wasn't stolen in Shasta County.
Right.
The Second Amendment is well protected in Shasta County.
Mm-hmm.
We have to stop focusing on those ridiculous things and focus on the things that actually impact the citizens of Shasta
yes,
County.
Yes, absolutely.
We have twice the state average in adverse childhood experiences. How sad is that?
Yeah.
That there's kids going home right now fearful for their lives.
Lots of kids.
Lots of kids.
Yeah.
That's not acceptable. And those are the things I'd like to see us putting our time and attention to.
Right.
Because all of that, mental health, better parenting, better connectivity with our children, those things all lead to a healthier society, which leads to less crime.
Right. Yeah. Oh, so much information.
There's a lot going on here. There's
and
a lot
I,
to unpack.
And
I
actually meant to, just because I like to acknowledge that some of these topics are really heavy, because they are. To listeners and to myself even, I haven't shared this often, but my brother died of a fentanyl overdose.
And I'm sorry
to
hear
that. He was 23 years old in
2018. And that's an absolute sin.
So when we talk about these things, they are real.
Yes.
They're real, actual problems that are affecting our families here in this county.
Yes.
And pretty much every one of us. Because since I've been working closer with all different kinds of people in this community, I've been shocked at the amount of people, pretty much everyone, that has a family member that has addiction struggles, mm-hmm. a family member that has mental health mm-hmm. struggles, people that are very close to them. So these problems are personal to Shasta County.
Yes.
And we do need solutions for them.
Yes, and we need to focus on the issues. And it crosses, you know, economics. It crosses demographics.
Yes, 100%.
You know, there's people from very good families, very loving families, very mm-hmm. financially secure families who go down those roads.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a responsibility as a civilized society to at least address the issue and not push it under the carpet or categorize it as this or categorize it as that. But it's easy to do that. It's easier to just complain about it or say this is rampant liberalism or this is far-right extremism mm-hmm. instead of actually saying, you know what, no, this is life.
Mm-hmm.
This is here. This is where we are. This is 2024.
And to just distract ourselves with things that aren't important.
Yes, and we do like to do that all
the
time.
And that's a psychological thing, too. It just dawned on me that I wonder if that's part of this.
Always. We're human.
Yeah.
We try to seek the path of least resistance. That's a very human thing to do.
So, back to the jail.
Sure.
Obviously, you think a jail is the way to go. A rehabilitation center.
I want a correctional rehabilitation
yes.
center. And I was real on point with whenever I would say it, I would call it a CRC.
Correctional rehabilitation center. So, would that include, like, a mental health hospital?
I don't see how it wouldn't.
Okay.
Because when you start doing medicated-assisted treatment, which you have to do, and we've done some in the jail,
mm-hmm.
The current jail, It is really part of the healing process. And you have to have the wraparound services.
Being able to get them drug-free and then start introducing medications
Correct.
That might help
Correct.
Alleviate
and,
mental health.
And you will, there is a gentleman in town, and I hope he doesn't mind if I mention his name because I showcased him years ago. I'll just call him Benjamin.
Okay.
Who had a serious problem. And we did an event some years ago at the Cascade, and we had a panel of people who have been through addiction and law enforcement. And Benjamin looked over at a lieutenant working in the sheriff's office and said to him on stage in front of people, because of you, I'm alive today.
Yeah.
And you changed my life. And, of course, the lieutenant's like, you know, I'm a cop. Most people don't look at me like this. But he explained it. He said, I was buried in my addiction. I was buried in my self-pity. I was buried in my hopelessness. And when you guys took me in, because I was arrested, but you saw the need, you applied the appropriate medical and mental health treatment to me, and now he's a, last time I talked to him, now it's been several years, he's a drug and alcohol addiction counselor.
Yeah.
So most of those stories, the turnaround was they had to have the accountability.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the piece that's missing.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not held accountable, you can't change behavior. We raise children. And one of the first things you teach your children is you are responsible for your behavior.
Mm-hmm.
And if your behavior is bad, expect a bad consequence.
Mm-hmm.
It's not someone else's fault. And I think that's really where it starts. And that's why those types of facilities are so important, that we have the balance.
Right.
And without that, if you're not held accountable, why would someone who's enjoying addiction and, you know, they're high all day long, they don't have too much stress, not a lot of anxiety going on, if there's no consequence to their behavior, why would they change?
Mm-hmm.
None of us would. That's human nature. None of us would do that. So that's the tough love that mm-hmm. has to come. And it's not far right, punitive, you know, lock them up. And it's not let's all hug them and sing kumbaya. It is finding that balance and dealing with the individual and wrapping the services around him or her.
Yeah, absolutely. I completely agree. Now, sorry.
We got the thumbs up. Yeah, so.
I got the thumbs up. I was checking to see how much time we have till commercial because I feel like we've jam-packed so much information into the short time. You're excellent at this. Good job. So let's move into... I was going to ask you about nationwide statistics. Do you know anything about? I really don't.
Okay. I mean, I yell at the TV mm-hmm. On both sides, but I really, I look at Shasta County. I'm close to the sheriff. I certainly know the chief. I'm close to city council members in Anderson. So I have a son in law enforcement. So I pay attention to that because. You know, I'm I'm a Mother Teresa fan. If you want world peace, go home and love your family.
Yeah.
If you want peace in the world, take care of your community.
Right.
If everybody just took care of their own community, mm-hmm. we'd be fine.
I'm curious now. You said something that made me curious, and this isn't on my agenda, so
okay.
I'm going to spring it on you.
Do it.
So you said earlier that if the state of California is offering you money to solve a problem that they see coming, we should take it.
Yes.
The other day, a few weeks ago, at the Board of Supervisors meeting, they made that resolution to turn down funding for incoming asylum seekers. Were you aware of that?
I was.
What do you think about that?
That's a different issue.
Okay.
And here's how far into the water I'll wade with that.
Okay.
We have enough issues right here in Shasta County with citizens of Shasta County. I'm not, regardless of what people will call me, I'm not xenophobic, I'm not racist, mm-hmm. I'm a reasonably intelligent human being. We're not in the position of recruiting other people.
Sure.
We need to take care of our own.
Do you think that they are anticipating them coming anyways?
I don't know.
Yeah.
And I don't know that it's healthy to anticipate.
Yeah.
It
just dawned on me when you said that. Maybe that's why. They're offering this money.
I think that's a bridge that we'll cross when we get to it. But I understand the reservation there. And mm-hmm. again, it's not. I'm the grandson of an immigrant mm-hmm. of immigrants. That is not the issue.
Right.
But there are things that you have to do to protect your community, and we've already seen what's happened in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the few times I agreed with that. It's unfortunate that it becomes such a political issue.
Right.
Because, again, it's a distraction.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my concern is why we're arguing about this. What are we not doing?
Right. Yeah, I agree. Okay, so our next topic is how to pay for a new jail.
Yeah, that's I think that's everybody's topic in America, more so today than ever, is how do you pay for anything.
Right.
As you may remember, several years ago, I was one of the leads on Measure A,
mm-hmm.
along with a good friend of mine, Stan Newts, who's currently the mayor in Anderson. And it's very unpopular political ground to go in,
mm-hmm.
Which is why a lot of the other electeds, they didn't put it down, but they didn't jump up to endorse mm-hmm. it. And I get it. I do not like taxes. I will moan about this state all day long. You give me an opportunity to rant, and I'll do it. But the reality is, and I try to spend at least a portion of my life in reality, we can't do this without money. So we really have to look at how are we going to do it. So I think there's two parts to that question, and if we have to take a break, we can wait till after. What do we want to do first? Because I think that's always the most important thing. What is it we need to do? And then how do we look for the money to get it?
Right. And can I just say, I feel like the jail is something that we can all come together on. I feel like, regardless of politics, that everyone wants to see a new jail be built. Everybody wants to see public safety. We all want it to be a safe place for our children, absolutely. Our grandchildren. But I feel like... I'm a bit frustrated with the Board of Supervisors for not standing up and saying that they would support it because this is a conservative community. And if you're going to, if it's going to require an outlandish thing like a tax, then we need conservatives standing up and saying, like you just did,
yeah,
I don't support extra taxes, but, you know.
It's ironic because Patrick Jones ran on in 2020 that all, because I had already introduced Measure A, and I'm paraphrasing him, but all your Board of Supervisors wants to do is raise your taxes,
mm-hmm.
which was totally misleading mm-hmm. and totally off point. And his plan was he was going to cut regulation and therefore grow the economy so he would have enough money to build a jail.
Mm.
Fast forward 4 years, the only regulation he cut that I understand is impact fees,
right,
which may personally benefit him should his gun range ever go mm-hmm. through. So,
and they've been saying the whole time, there's money, there's money,
yeah.
there's money, and now there's
there
no money.
We brought on a CEO, Matt Pontus.
Mm-hmm.
There were many reasons why we brought Matt on. One of the most outstanding was that he had already built a jail.
Right.
So we brought him on, and then as soon as Patrick Jones got in office, Patrick Jones attacked him. Matt had a felony conviction in his life when he was 20. We knew all about it. The record had been expunged. It was for stealing $437.
Mm-hmm.
It was a group activity, so the judge put them all together,
right.
charged them all as felons. They were all, you know, they all did community service. The record was expunged, and the man went on to be quite successful.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, he's now left Shasta County. After leaving us, he went to Sierra Pacific, and now he's the CEO down in San Luis Obispo.
Right, which, good job to us,
yeah.
losing somebody that was great.
He was, and before he left, he said to me, when we went and had coffee, he said, you know what, if I was still here, we'd be breaking ground on the new facility.
Yeah.
And that was something that he got attacked by Patrick and his band,
mm-hmm.
Without a lot of real information, without ever finding out. We would not hire somebody who was a convicted felon
right.
if we didn't know the background of what happened.
Right.
And we knew everything. He hid nothing from us.
Mm-hmm.
Technically, the record's expunged. He doesn't have to tell us anything.
So didn't Patrick know that you knew?
He wasn't on when we hired him.
So he didn't know that you knew?
I would have assumed he would know, but...
So what do you think the purpose was of him bringing that up?
I think that's a question you'd have to ask Patrick Henry Jones.
Yeah.
Because no good came from it,
right.
and we lost a very capable, competent man that could have helped us do what we wanted to do. And obviously, we set county government into complete disarray.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's where we are today.
So we still have a couple minutes.
Okay.
So let's start on this first half of your items that you wanted to discuss.
Okay. Let's talk a little about the sales tax.
Okay.
More about the sales
tax. That's good.
When I introduced the sales tax, Measure A, it included a, and I want to say it was 275-bed tower right downtown, which connected to the existing jail.
Okay.
One of the things I've learned in my life from my failures, and that tax was certainly a failure, was maybe the strategy wasn't right.
Mm.
And it wasn't. And having moved away from that, I now realize that having a jail facility downtown makes no sense. And I say that for two reasons. One is 275 beds will never do it. Building a whole series of pods over there, building up instead of out, enhances lack of security, doesn't create a good working environment, and you really don't want a jail in your downtown.
Yeah, we have a beautiful downtown.
We have invested a lot. Kudos to city council.
Yeah.
They have invested a lot in our downtown. So there is a piece of property out east off of an old Oregon Trail that I know we looked at where the transfer station was.
Mm-hmm.
And the sheriff, our current sheriff, Mike Johnson, worked with the team on creating a facility that would allow us to expand. And you really want to do, if you can do one stories, that's the key. One story, so nobody's in an elevator. That creates a really dangerous situation mm-hmm. for inmates and for correctional officers. You could put a lot of light in, and then you can expand. And out in an area like that, you have enough area to do farming. We're in agricultural. Shasta College has some great agricultural programs that we can teach these men and women
mm-hmm. yeah.
how they can maybe earn a living.
Right.
Not only that, they can raise their own food. They can raise their own cattle, whatever they need, that they can then sustain themselves or
mm-hmm.
even sell at farmers markets.
And so, the fire, I know they do some inmate fire crews.
Yes,
the people, they're really successful.
Yes, and
people
that's
feeling, like, important and, like, they're needed in the world.
So many people end up in a bad situation because they lose hope. And as soon as they lose hope, and again, I'm not going off on some psychological rant. This is just understanding basic human nature.
Right.
When you lose hope, you lose confidence, and you stop caring.
And they say the opposite of addiction is connection.
Correct. That is my good friend Lindora taught me that.
Yep.
She's a brilliant lady. She's, you know, Hill Country. And that is really the secret, is we need to connect people in communities.
It's time for us to take a pause, finally.
I can breathe now.
So let's go ahead and take a pause, and we'll be right back.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
Attention veterans, did you know that Shasta College and Simpson University have veterans resource centers to assist you in your educational pursuits? These centers offer a wide range of support services, including financial aid, tutoring, IT support, and more. We understand the unique challenges that veterans face and are committed to helping you succeed. Our experienced staff is here to help you navigate the college experience and achieve your academic and career goals. Don't let anything stand in your way. This message is brought to you by Senator Maurice Johannesson, former Secretary of California Veterans Affairs.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Obtaining a California concealed weapons license will allow the licensed individual to transport a listed handgun in their vehicle or on their person in public. For application instructions, training, and other information, contact NFI at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Hello, we are back with former County Supervisor Joe Chimenti, live on KCNR 96.5 FM. Our lines are open if you'd like to call in and talk to Joe and ask him some questions about what he's talked about so far. The number is 530-605-4566 or 4567. Both lines are open, so feel free to call. All right, so let's get back to the sales tax.
Okay. So I understood that the sales tax we looked at was for all of the criminal justice system. It was to increase the police officers because Reading was probably 25 or 30 officers down. The sheriff's office, similar amount. Correctional officers, district attorney, public defenders. We really, probation, we needed to boost up because it's a system.
Right.
So if any part of the system is weak, the entire system's weak. You can have this beautiful state-of-the-art jails, but if you don't have enough prosecutors to prosecute, or you don't have probation people to work with them when they come out, or you don't have enough police officers to, or deputies to arrest, correctional officers to manage while they're incarcerated. But it did not fare well. We got 48.5%. We needed 66.67. Not that I remember. But that's the breaks.
So what do you think it boiled down to? Why didn't you get the vote?
There was a couple of things. There's certainly the anti-tax, but I think I made a fundamental mistake. From a marketing perspective, we put out a postcard with the pictures of homelessness and homeless camps on.
Mm.
And I think the tag was somewhere, when is enough enough?
Mm.
The intention was, we have a responsibility as a society to not let this happen. But I think a lot of people in the community looked at that as we were trying to criminalize. I know they did, because people that I love, that I like and have a lot of respect for, called me and said, what are you doing?
Mm.
And it didn't, you know, it's one of those things when it's right in front of you, you don't see it.
Right.
Until someone says it to you, and then you go, oh, yeah.
Do you think, I can't remember which, because there was two attempts at a sales tax.
There was, we did, I want to say it was Measure, and David Bendit just did this in the newspaper a couple of days ago. I want to say in 2014 we did Measure F, H or F, and that was a specific sales tax, 66.67%, and that got 55%. Then we did, I want to say in 2016, we did Measures D and E. D was the general sales tax. E was an advisory committee. That didn't break the 50% threshold. And then Measure A. I can't. You're not on. I mean, I can hear you, but I can't hear you in my headset.
It's off. Oh, there we go. Okay.
You're back.
I'm back. Shoot, what was I going to say now?
Oh, wait, I just got through the...
Yeah, so a specific sales tax.
Yeah.
Were both of the attempts specific to a jail?
Yeah, well, they included a jail.
Okay.
Yes.
So does it have to include the whole...
No.
Law enforcement?
And I had a lot of people tell me that that was a stumbling point as well.
I remember hearing that yeah. People weren't... There was a trust issue as to how the money was going to be spent, and I was hearing conservative people say if it was to be spent just on the jail, they would have voted for it, but that...
And I don't know if that's true or not,
mm-hmm.
But again, it was a specific sales tax. One of the oddities of California, and I feel there are many, but I won't share them here, is if you want to specifically dictate where the money goes, which means by law you can only send it where only spend it where the measure stated, you need 66.67. A general sales tax, you just need 50 plus 1.
Which is, it seems weird.
Right.
It seems completely backwards.
Completely opposite of that.
Right.
But that's the number one challenge right there.
Okay.
And it's virtually impossible to get that. Do I think it would fare better if we just focused on a correctional and rehabilitative center? Yeah, I think it would. But again, we have fixed a lot of those problems. Reading came up with money for police officers. The Board of Supervisors finally opened their wallets to be able to, you know, pay correction officers and deputies a little bit more money. We're still struggling trying to find district attorneys and probation officers. We're still challenged there. So I think it would be better now, but I still don't know that a specific sales tax... I wouldn't discourage it. I mean, I wouldn't. I admire even people I may not politically align with. Mm-hmm. I admire the fact that you have the political guts, because it takes political guts to go out there and say, I'm going to try to do something that most people are not in favor of.
Yeah.
And everybody told me that. And, you know, my attitude when I was running for office and in office was, I'm going to do what I think is right.
Right.
And if at the end
of
the day...
Well, I feel like that builds trust, too.
Well, and it's really, you know, it's not that I'm such a great guy, because there's people who probably tell you that I'm not.
Yeah.
But the reality is that's just how I do it.
Yeah.
That's how I've done business, and that's how I do politics.
Well, and you have to take risk.
Yeah, and you look at an issue and you evaluate it with the best information you have, and you also have to have the courage to say I was wrong.
Right.
So when I look back at the sales tax, I look at the things I did wrong. And I own those, because that's the only way you figure out not to do that again.
So let's just recap that.
Okay.
Let's pretend like you're giving some advice to the new generation of supervisors who are going to put this forward. So what would you tell them to do differently?
Here's what I would do.
Okay.
I would go to the city, first of all.
Okay.
Because I think you have a better chance of passing a tax in the city.
Okay.
And the reason I say that is we live in a rural area. A lot of people don't really rely on those services. You know, a lot of people, we're in a conservative environment. A lot of people are comfortable protecting themselves and their property. And I get that. I think they certainly want sheriff's deputies available. But the plan I had was, once Measure A failed, there was a plan B. Mm-hmm. But then COVID hit. Mm-hmm. And once COVID hit, everything went out the window. But what I would recommend to them, and I don't know that you can do this, because Ruben Cruz, who was our county council at the time, had just started investigating it. I would go to the city, because they're the largest user of the services. Mm-hmm. It's not a county responsibility, because Reading is in the county. Mm-hmm. It's a community responsibility. And don't quote me on this stat, but I think about 60 to 70% of the guests in the jail at any given time are from the city of Reading.
Okay.
So I would go to the city of Reading and I'd say, here's the involvement that I would want you to do. We can do a general sales tax. And again, I don't know if you can legally do this because it just never got investigated. And in that sales tax, in that general sales tax, we're going to write contracts. We're going to write a contract with the jail as to where this money can go, whether it's capital improvements, whether it's building a new jail, whether it's staffing the jail. So when we get this money, that we are going to have in writing in a contract that says this is the only place the money can be spent. Now, I don't know if you can actually do that.
Right.
But that was the thought process. And the other part of that was, depending on how it played out, is that everybody, meaning, and I know a good friend of mine was on city council in Anderson, will not like hearing this, but he's probably not listening to this, so it doesn't matter. The city of Anderson has to help through some bonding, mm-hmm, for the capital improvement. And so does the city of Reading and the city of Shasta Lake.
Yeah.
And I think that's the plan that's a 50,000-foot view. That's how I would do it and start drilling down.
So that's your dream world.
That's my dream world.
Okay.
I think it would be very difficult. One of the issues that came up with a countywide sales tax was the city of Anderson. Mm-hmm. They already put in the sales tax in place to help their police and fire, and they're going to be unfairly taxed, and they are. Mm-hmm. And I get that. And so I can appreciate their hesitance. I think we're better off, just my opinion, and nobody generally cares, but I share it anyway, is to do it in some format the way I said with Reading. But you need to build camaraderie between the boards. One of the things I did was I would on a regular basis go to lunch with several members of the city council in Reading, which I still do, and several members of the city council in Anderson. And I know some of the members pretty well in Shasta Lake. But there has to be that connectivity. And then the CEOs, city manager, CEO, need to work together. This has to be a community effort. The sheriff and the police chiefs need to work together.
Okay.
There could be no surprises to any of them.
100%. Is there another project that has had the workings of this consortium of all the cities and county together?
Not that I know of. And one of the things I did with Measure A, Stan and I did with Measure A, is we would do public forums, and we brought all the key players together. So we had the sheriff, we had the police chiefs, we had the DA, we had the chief of probation. We had them all up on a dais so, mm-hmm, they could answer questions that the community would have, and they could talk about how they needed to work together. Because, sadly, and it happens everywhere, mm-hmm, people work in silos. So you get to a point where you're so busy protecting your piece of the pie, mm-hmm, that you forget that pie has to be shared with everyone.
Right. And it reminds me of the homeless. What's it called? The homeless organization that's trying to work with the city and the county right now, and the discombobulation there.
Yeah, it's again, my opinion. Whenever egos get involved,
right,
you have to put your. If you're going to be successful at this, at least that's just my opinion. You got to put your ego in your back pocket, and you got to think about what's best for the community, mm-hmm, what's best for the cause. What's the best thing we can do for this situation right now, given the information we have?
So do you think that we need stability in our governance first?
I think that's probably the greatest understatement I've ever seen. And honestly, I don't get it. I mean, yeah. I really don't. I understand what happened during COVID.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not approving of it in any way, shape,
right,
or form. But people were very afraid. Mm-hmm. And when people get afraid, their behavior patterns become very erratic.
Right.
I get it. We are way past that.
Yeah.
and it became politicized because it gave certain members of the community an opportunity to promote their political agenda. It had nothing to do with COVID, had nothing to do with the virus, had nothing to do with people's health, had everything to do with them promoting their personal agenda and their political agenda. And we're still seeing the remnants of that, like I said. You know, there is no voter fraud in Shasta County.
Right.
That's not a problem.
Right.
I am a CCW carrier. That's not an issue. It just became a political platform, and it created the division. And now we're seeing it in the city council, and you know, with Bethel.
Mm-hmm.
And I support Bethel. I support McConnell. I support the tribe. I support Sierra Pacific. Mm-hmm. I support anyone and anything that brings good to our community.
Right.
And I think we have a responsibility as community leaders to be able to manage that process. And I question why certain leaders are making decisions that seem so one-sided.
Right. And isolating on their piece of pie, like
correct,
you said.
Correct. Yeah. And all this thing that came down with the Planning Commission, there was no reason for that to happen.
No, absolutely.
The city council ultimately can override anything the Planning Commission can do, just like the Board of Supervisors.
And if anything, they should be more cognizant about not overusing their piece of pie.
Correct. You're exactly correct.
You would pay closer attention. Oh, I'm sorry. We have to go to commercial. But when we come back, being more cognizant of your piece of pie.
Yeah.
Do you have something you'd like to get painted? Then bring it to Victory Powder Coating. Powder coating is a durable, colorful, environmentally friendly alternative to paint. It's useful in automotive, agricultural, decorative, and high-temperature applications. Victory Powder Coating has become the North State leader in powder coating applications and metal finishing. They specialize in large industrial items like truck beds, agricultural equipment, and trailers. They're dedicated to providing superior work and outstanding customer care. Consider Victory Powder Coating for your next project. Victory Powder Coating.
Hi, it's Mark from Haven Humane Society. Are you looking to add to your family? We have puppies, kittens, small critters, and farm animals. Each year, we have thousands of amazing animals looking for homes come into our lives, and we hope to have them join yours. Follow us on social media and find our links on our website at havenhumane.org. Watch our weekly content on YouTube, like our Mark's Monday mashup, when we talk about what's going on and introduce you to our team and adoptable animals. Get involved. Volunteer. Thank you for all your continued support. Together, we are moving closer to our ultimate goal of a North State with no more homeless pets.
As we all get older, the one constant thing is the aggressive, excessive mail and advertising for Medicare, Medicare supplements, and Medicare Advantage. And almost every one of them is a call center with no idea of what you really need. Siskiyou Insurance has an agent that deals with nothing but Medicare issues and can explain the differences clearly between a Medicare supplement and Medicare Advantage. Call Greg Green at Siskiyou Insurance at 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345.
This is Carl Baugh. Join Linda and me on Wednesday as we welcome Reading Police Department Captain Ron Isley and a couple of his patrolmen to find out what's happening on the streets right here in Reading. Also updates on the Board of Supervisors, the City Council, and more. Right here, Free Fire Radio, KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Miss a day, miss a while.
Okay, we are back with former County Supervisor Joe Cementi, live on KCNR 96.5. Our lines are open if you'd like to call in. The number is 530-605-4566 or 67. So, we're back.
Yeah.
Talking about...
how we have to overcome the division that's in our community. I mean, it's nationwide.
Right.
But again, it's one of those problems you fix locally. If everybody focuses on locally... What's going to happen in Sacramento is going to happen in Sacramento.
Right.
What happens in Washington is going to happen in Washington. We will certainly have our opinion, and we'll cast our vote, and that'll be it. But we can't control what we do here and the attitude that we have here. And we have to get back to the point where we can have good, solid discussions and be able to walk away in agreement that we disagree.
Right.
And, you know, I have a concern now with the voter registrar position coming up.
Yeah.
They're, having worked with her, Joanna, there is no other choice.
Right.
And I really appreciate Les Baugh, who served a long time. I served 4 years with him. Mm-hmm. Lord knows we didn't always agree on things.
Right.
But he had the fortitude to step out and say, you know, this is the person.
Yeah.
We can't put this at risk. This should not be a political entity. It just shouldn't be.
Yeah.
Even though it's a political position, you're respecting one of the greatest rights that every American citizen has, that everyone who's ever served in the military and everyone who's ever lost their life has fought and died for.
Right.
And you need to put a person that this is a very complex system.
Right. I feel like there should be no question as to whether Joanna is the right person for this job or not. And I feel like it's such a great opportunity also to bring us together.
Correct.
Because if you make the right decision,
right.
We all know it's the right decision.
Yes.
If you make the wrong decision, it's a political move again that's not good for our community.
Right.
And it keeps us at war with each other.
Correct.
And Ashley, you're back.
I was never gone. I didn't mute myself.
Because we're doing all the, I'm doing all the talking. So yeah, it's really hard for you.
No, it's like I'm sitting here. It's like I have a front row seat to the conversation I've been wanting to hear for like 2 years. Like somebody who's actually reasonable and is involved with Shasta County politics. That's so refreshing.
Thank you.
But yeah, the Shasta County, the ROV thing is, yeah, if anybody else in there aside from Joanna, you're also inviting the state to get involved, which is exactly the opposite of what the majority of this board wants.
Correct. I don't think anybody wants that. We're grown-ups.
Right.
We can, if sanity prevails, we can run our own county.
Mm-hmm.
We don't need their help.
Right.
And we need the right people in positions of responsibility.
Oh, we have a caller.
Oh, no.
So, Tiffany, are you there?
We don't need their help.
Tiffany, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Hi, Tiffany. Thanks for calling in. What do you got for us tonight?
Well, I am so glad I was able to get tonight off to listen to the show.
Thank you.
I love Joe. I worked at One Safe Place when he was on the board, and I am so sad he's not on the board of supervisors, but I definitely enjoy the fact that he's reasonable.
Yeah.
He may not always, I love his points. I don't always agree.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he didn't always, but there's so much division right now, and it's so hard with the current board, and now the city council, what they're doing. Why is there this division? It drives me nuts. It makes me angry. There shouldn't be
this division.
Yeah.
We're all asking ourselves the same question.
Yes, yeah, thank you for your kind words, and you're absolutely right. We're a small community. I mean, we're 180,000 in total, but we're still a small community. The likelihood that one of us is going to run into the other one of us in a supermarket or in a restaurant is very high. There should never be this kind of division. They're just... should be, which is one of the reasons why I was excited. I come from a major metropolitan area, and I've lived all over the country and traveled all over the country. And I thought, well, in a small community, it's going to be cool. I mean, these people are good, and, you know, I've been here a long time, and it's just sad. I mean, it's really, there's no other word that I can find except to say this is just sad, and it needs to stop. We just need to all be grown up about this.
Yeah, it breaks my heart, and it honestly makes me feel my kids are grown now. And I have one that moved back here after she graduated from college. And it makes me sad because I'm actually thinking of leaving here, where I've been for 30 years.
I understand, and I go through the same thing. And I there are times I just want to run away from the community. And then I think to myself, well, that's not how you should do things. You know, sometimes I think it was David Bowie that says you got to turn and face the strain. And sometimes you just get tired of turning and facing the strain.
Yeah,
But I think we need to do that. I mean, we have a great community. We have a lot of wonderful people on both sides of the political aisle. And we just need to, the common sense people need to step up and say, we're bringing common sense back.
And enough is enough, you know. And one thing that I keep saying when I hear these thoughts and actions brought in of things that are happening in other places, where have you experienced that in Shasta County? Is there fraud in our election system? No, there's not. You've all said there's not. But you're concerned that possibly maybe one day it will come here, so it has to affect our community now. No, it doesn't. also other cultural war type situations that are not here in our county. Yeah. And people are worried about them because they may be in other places. But we need to stop focusing on that and focus on what is actually happening in Shasta County, which is nothing, except for this extremism argument. And we just need to get on with it. We have so many positive things happening here, and public safety that could be addressed, like we were talking about earlier. So many things that need to be real problems.
Correct. And that is, it's just a matter of focus. Just a matter of
focus. I agree. I totally agree 100%. And instead of creating all this division and all this anger and all this craziness that is going on in the boardrooms, put it away, you know, check your egos at the door and focus on what the public needs.
So, Joe,
very true.
Do you think we have any hope of it going away?
Oh, yeah. You know, you can't, you know, I can go off in my grumbling, you know, old guy, you know, in the balconies. I can do that all
day long. Careful, I'm as old as you. Careful.
All right. But no, absolutely. It's keeping good people engaged.
Yeah.
And I doubt that I'll ever run for political office again. I'm not going to expose myself or my family to that.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean that I won't continue
to be a champion
in the community, which is what I'm doing now with my good buddy Don, and trying to help him get his business off the ground for workforce development with the 3D print and affordable housing and all kinds of cool things that you can do with this leading edge technology that's a real community builder, go into communities that have been disaster riddled and help people get back on their feet. So there's tons of good things we can all do.
Yeah. It's my opinion that you can affect more change as an everyday person than you can a politician.
I did find that.
Yeah.
Because it's very stressful to have people continuously tell you. It was very difficult for me because I am a outspoken, sarcastic person from the East Coast.
You're Italian.
Yeah, and I'm Italian. So it was very difficult during my tenure not to verbally attack people who are verbally attacking me.
Yeah.
But I told myself, I prayed a lot, and I told myself I'm not doing that. I'm not disrespecting the good people that voted for me and the good people that sat in this seat before me and will sit in it after me by that type of behavior. I'm just not going to do it.
Well, it's so hard, but
it was virtually impossible, to be honest with you.
Yeah. So you handled that professionally. And tell Debbie Tiffany says hi.
I certainly will.
Thank you so much.
I'm sure she's listening. So.
All right, Jeff.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, hello? Okay, I'm back.
You're still here.
We only have a couple minutes left, so let's kind of wrap this up.
All right.
So do you think you finished your thoughts about what you would do? You gave us your dream world.
Yes.
Now, what if we don't have a dream world?
Joe, what should we do? We usually don't.
Right now, what can we do?
First thing we need to do is all the agencies need to sit down at the table together.
Okay.
You're
talking city and county.
With city and county. Mm-hmm. So we need representatives from each of the governments in terms of electeds and from the police departments, the city managers, the CEO. We need to sit down and say, okay, what's our plan here and where?
Mm-hmm.
Number one, it cannot be downtown, and it can't be a Band-Aid. And you can't use the excuse, well, we can't only afford to do this. No, you can't afford to do it wrong. That's what you got to tell yourself. You can't afford to do it incorrectly.
Do you think Sheriff Johnson's current plan is a good plan?
The plan that he introduced?
The last one.
Yes. Now, I think that's a great plan.
Okay.
It's a young plan that will go through a lot of iterations.
Okay.
But he wants to.
I forgot what he called it. Do you remember?
The spoken wheel, but that seemed, for whatever reason, seemed to upset somebody.
Yeah.
So every time I see him, I mention it. Because I think it's a great idea.
Yeah.
But the concept needs to be better vetted.
Okay.
But that's where those individuals need to sit down and say, what are we going to build? Forget what it costs. Because every hour we wait, and I said this from the dais, every hour you wait, it costs more.
Right.
And there's no shortcut. There's no Band-Aid. This is not going to work with a tower and a couple of other. It's just not.
Right.
And you have to accept that reality, and this whole community has to say, what's our 10-year plan?
Yeah.
Because 10 years we'll be here.
So getting everybody to sit down, that's about as far as we can get tonight.
That's all we can hope for.
That's all we can hope for.
That's
and
where it starts.
Everybody come together and stop worrying about what's going on in the rest of the country. Focus on what's going on here in Shasta County.
Correct.
And, yeah, we have 9 seconds, so we're going to say adios. Thank you so much for not for having me, for coming to our show tonight.
Thank you for including me, and I really appreciate what you're doing, and I think our community is very capable of hearing differing opinions on how we do things.
Have a good night.
You do the very same.
Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.